start the service tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Ruben Bakari if he would open us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here tonight, Father, to worship you in song, to come together, Father, to lift up our prayer requests before you. We just ask tonight that you bless Pastor Tim as he brings the message to us. Be with Pastor Bailey and his family, Lord, as they're away from us. Bring them back safely to us, Lord. We ask that you continue to bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good to see you this evening. You may be seated. Great to have the opportunity to gather together in the middle of the week and praise the Lord for air conditioning in the midst of a heat advisory. Amen. So certainly praise the Lord for that, but appreciate the warmness in your singing and praising the Lord. You've done a great job getting started, so we're going to have John Joe come and lead us again.
That first song we sang, somebody had it on their heart this morning in their morning walk, and they shot me a text and said, can we sing that song? Yeah, we can sing it. Oh, yeah, we can sing that song. I'm glad I remembered, because sometimes I forget. But I say this, if you're ever walking in the morning, not in the afternoon, you got to get me in the morning, and you have a song on your heart and you want to sing it, and I know it, we'll sing it, okay? I don't mind requests. Get 12 text messages on Sunday morning. This is going to be a problem. One a day. You get one a day. First one, first serve. 507 is our next song. 507. Let's sing this together. Have his way with thee. 507.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road?
Just a couple of things by way of announcement as reminders for you. First of all, there is a sign-up list out on the welcome booth if you would like your young people to participate in the children's Christmas program. It's going to be an old-fashioned children's Christmas program. It's for K-3 through the 6th grade. If you want to sign them up on that sheet, that would be very, very helpful. If you have any questions about that, you'll need to please see Miss Elizabeth Bailey when she gets back. Also want to remind you that this coming Sunday evening, after the evening service, we'll have a Cake and Ice Cream Fellowship for Pastor Bailey for his birthday, and so excited to be able to do that. Want to encourage you to be here for that, and then if you want to bring a card in or anything like that, there will be an opportunity for you to put that in a, is it a bowl you said was going to be available, basket, something like that? Table?
I'm sorry for re-announcing that the other day. They were laughing at me. I didn't know. But yeah, bowl's fine.
Bowl, basket, table. You know what? A dump truck. Brother Bill, you probably could open the back of your truck bed and we'd just throw them in there, right? Anyway, that'll be this coming Sunday night after the evening service. And then just a reminder again for our senior citizens who are going on the railroad trip. Confirmed all the tickets and the hotel rooms and everything today. So we're looking forward to that. If you have not yet paid me for that, please make sure that you see me about that. Cash is fine. If you want to make a check out to the church, that's fine as well. It's all going into the same place, but we're looking forward to that trip. And we'll have probably have a meeting the Sunday before we go, just to kind of go over the details for you real quick so that you know what we're going to be doing on that Friday, August the 28th. Our missionary focus this week is on the Ryan family, Luke and Charity Ryan. And they have been in the country of Spain, but they're currently back in the U.S. right now on awaiting visa paperwork to be able to be accomplished. They didn't have all the paperwork they needed. They wanted to be sponsored by the church where they're serving in Spain, and that church was waiting on their number to be able to supply to the Ryans in order for them to be able to be in the country and serving there. So they had to come back for a little bit, but that number has come in. They've had it supplied. They're submitting their visa applications, and Lord willing, they'll have those approved within a month and be able to get back to the field. They're looking forward to that. In his previous letter, he had asked prayer for his mom because of some health issues. He said she is doing very well and is recovering nicely, and so thank you for praying for that. And then he said the biggest thing they're really struggling with right now is learning patience. They pushed very hard on their pre-field ministry to get to the field. They were very busy, worked very hard, and then all of a sudden everything's come to a grinding halt. And he said, so the Lord is working with them on teaching them patience and trusting him, and that he will accomplish things in his time. And so he said that would be the biggest prayer request they have right now as they await the opportunity for themselves to be able to return to the country of Spain. He said, thankfully, it's a good thing the one we wait on is perfect and true, and he doesn't make any mistakes. So we certainly praise the Lord for Luke and Charity Ryan. They were with us just not this past year, but the year before in our missions conference, and so we're excited for what God's doing in their lives. Let's have a word of prayer for them this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Ryans. We thank you for the ministry to which you've called them there in Spain. Lord, we thank you for the missionary family and the church they're wanting to work with. We thank you for the great testimony of that ministry there. We just pray that you would allow them favor with the government officials that are going to be processing their paperwork for their visas. Lord, we thank you that the sponsorship numbers and everything have come in now and that they can proceed with that process. We just pray that you would give them favor and, Lord, that the paperwork would be accomplished in your timing. Lord, that they could return to the field. Their hearts are certainly in the country of Spain, being able to work with the families there. Thank you for the acquisition, or some of the acquisition of the language that they've already made. Pray that you would help them as they continue to learn that. And then, Lord, that you would help them to acclimate to the culture in Spain very quickly once they get there. Pray that they'd be a blessing in the ministry they're working in their first term. And Lord, that you would give them wisdom and direction as they make ministry decisions about potentially planting a church in the future. Lord, we just thank you for how you have brought healing and recovery to Luke's mom. Just pray that you would continue that process in her life. And God, we'll just praise you and thank you for what you will do through the Ryan family as they continue to faithfully wait upon you and serve you. And we'll thank you for all of it in Jesus' name. Amen.
339. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Let's sing that. 339. And our men will come for the offering. 339, all standing as you're able.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing.
Gathered by the crystal of the fourth.
Tonight, we're going to worship the Lord through our giving. I'm going to ask Brother Virgil Zipper if he would ask God's blessing in the offering. Just a reminder that this is our others offering, so anything that's not designated will go to our others fund, but if it is designated, it will go to the purpose it's designated for.
Lord, we thank you again for this opportunity, Lord. We can come and hear your word. Pray now that you would bless this message tonight, Lord. Help us use it, Lord, to touch our hearts. Pray, Lord, you would use it, Lord, to draw us closer to you. And I pray, Lord, that every word that's said tonight, Lord, would be that which you'd have us to hear. And I pray for this offering, Lord. I pray that it would be used for your honor and glory, Lord, and it would be used to touch hearts and lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Miss Alita. That was very well done. $7.95. So nice. $7.95. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry.
Savior,
Amen. Great singing this evening. Praise the Lord for the opportunity to worship the Lord in singing. We want to take the opportunity now to be able to share some prayer requests. We've got some gentlemen with microphones ready to come around and give you the opportunity to share those needs with us. So who wants to get started? All right, right here in the front. Yes, ma'am, Miss Edie.
Look at you. I'd appreciate your prayers for my daughter, Jennifer, single mom, two kids, and having trouble finding a job.
Okay. Yes, ma'am, Miss Val.
If you would continue to pray, please, for my husband, Dan, for his salvation, and for his issues with his legs, and also my son, Randy, who's had cancer surgery in the last couple of weeks, and pray for his healing. And also we should pray for Leslie Head. She's not having a very good week.
All right, who else? Oh.
I'd like prayer for my sister Devin's cancer treatment, my cousin Randy's cancer treatment, and my sister Asden's salvation.
Mr. Bill.
I want to give an update on Ellie Parker. First, I want to thank the prayer warriors in this church that I know pray people every day. Ellie went into hospital on the 4th, operated on the 5th, expected a 14-day stay. She went home in 5 days.
Amen.
10-hour operation. You wouldn't know nothing's wrong with her today.
Oh, wow, amen.
She's talked to Teresa several times, happy and her normal self, so we thank the Lord for his blessings and prayer wars in this church.
Amen. Ron, if you could get Miss Sherry there, please.
Sure.
Sherry Seegers.
Just continue to pray for Miss Annette. She is home. She's having some swelling in her leg, and just, you know, it's a long road still. Just keep her in your prayers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Brother Smith.
I talked to the adoptions worker in Alabama today, and Adam and I are going to go out there next week and hopefully spend a couple days with our future daughter. So just peace about proceeding with this and for her salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You just continue to pray for Mark's brother, Jim, and then our daughter, Ashley.
I would like to ask everyone to pray for my nephew, Chad Reese. He was doing really good and was off drugs and alcohol. And I just talked to my mother, though, just a few moments before we came here. And he's in the hospital now. That he kind of felt by the way, and he's just having a hard time. He's got a friend that's trying to help him, and he doesn't want to go to a rehab, but I feel like he can't do it on his own, so I want you to pray that Chad will go to a rehab, and he'll stay there, and it'll be a good Christian rehab, and that he will get his life straightened out, because he's finally found a girl that loves the Lord, and they're just friends right now, but she's really taking an interest in him and trying to help him.
Yeah.
And I want to praise the Lord as a result of our 50th anniversary, people that were helping us. Deborah led two ladies to the Lord that were helping us. And one, Amanda, that made our cake, she's supposed to come this Sunday. Pray she will come. And she's got four children and don't know if they're saved or not, so pray about that. But just pray she'll come and can start growing in the Lord.
Amen.
I want to pray again for my boss, Debbie Woodall. She has really severe vascular issues going on in her leg, the blood clot, and I'm just really worried about her, just praying that she'll get better.
Okay.
All right, now for the third week in a row, my wife is expecting again. Grandchild number 3, actually number 12. So just found out last night. So.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Oh, Kayla, my daughter, youngest daughter, Kayla. Yep, up in Washington.
Don't drink the water.
All right, anybody else? We don't mind making these guys run. Yes, sir. Ron, if you would, in the back. Oh, you got your microphone, John Joe.
Ask prayer for Tim Hutto. It's a friend of mine's son who is in the hospital. He's got kidney failure, and he seems to be doing a little better today, but pray for Tim Hutto, please. Told him we'd pray for him.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Yep, in the back. Brother Tyner.
I like to praise the Lord, but my brother-in-law, Mike Watts, went into the hospital Monday with chest pains, had a double bypass, and praise the Lord, he was up walking today.
Amen.
And it's all to God's glory and prayers.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's great to be able to rejoice in good things we see the Lord do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Anybody else? Going once? Don't want to miss anybody. Going twice? All right, I'm going to ask Brother Lon Hicks, would you mind praying for us tonight, and then I'll pray.
Shall we pray? Father, we come to you. First of all, we want to thank you for all that you've given to us and all you've done for us. And then secondly, Lord, we want to ask you to open the doors for us to be a witness for you wherever we find ourselves, Father, in whatever situation we find ourselves. And we ask you, Lord, to put your hands of blessing upon the church here and upon church services as we reach people with the gospel of Christ. As we see visitors come in, Lord, help us each one to be friendly toward them, introduce ourselves to them.
Yes.
Build a bridge to them so that we can reach them with the gospel of Christ. Then we come to you with these different requests, Lord. Pray for Jennifer that needs a job. You work those details out on that, as well as Dan's salvation. We pray for him every week, every day, for him to be saved. We ask you to take his heart and rend it and bring it to the place that he will accept Jesus under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and work there in a special way in his life. Then we pray for these who have cancer, Father. There's several on this list that are suffering from that or going through treatments for that. Devin and Randy and others as well. We ask you to be with them. If they do not know Christ, help them to see their need of Jesus Christ at this time. If they are your children, Father, we ask you to help them to be a testimony as they walk through this valley, because there's so many who are suffering from cancer as well as heart situations. And we need to be a testimony to them and reach them with the gospel. Sometimes, Father, I realize that you allow people to go through difficulties, not only for them to get saved, but for them to be a testimony for Christ. Help us to surrender ourselves when we go through those valleys in our lives. Guide and direct there in a very, very special way, Father. We think of our missionaries around the world that are on the field, and there's so many of them that face problems and difficulties. You give them the grace that they need to have as they are our testimonies for you and our representative and your representative on the fields. Guide and direct there, bless, that Christ will be glorified. Then we pray for those, Lord, that are in the hospital on our list, Lord, and are recovering from surgeries and difficulties. We ask you to be with each one of them as they have these health issues, that they will glorify Christ above all else. Now, Father, in our world, there's a lot of people who are suffering from addictions. Help us to be great, show our grace to them, show your grace to them, and help them to put their trust in Christ and do what needs to be done to be taking care of these addictions. Now, put your hand in the service tonight in a very special way. Bless our pastor as he's away as well, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Our Father, again, we come to you thanking you for the opportunity to demonstrate our trust and our faith in you. And Father, certainly we thank you and want to praise you and exalt you for the good answers to prayer that we've heard, and especially in the life of Miss Ellie Parker, Lord. We just rejoice and stand amazed at how quickly she's recovered from the surgery that she had, and that is a testimony to the answers of prayer and to your working in her life. We thank you as well for Mike Watts and his recovery and rapid recovery there. Certainly thank you for that. Lord, we think of others who are still struggling through recovery. I think of Miss Annette Blocker. Just ask that you continue to have your hand of healing upon her and strengthen her, encourage her. Lord, I know it's discouraging when you can't get up and move around as you would like to. And so I pray, Lord God, that you would just encourage her heart through this. I think of Val mentioned her son Randy and his recovery from his cancer surgery, treatments he'll have to go through, and others with cancer. Certainly a number have been mentioned. God, we just pray that you would undertake in a special way for them, Lord, that you would supply your grace and your strength in measure to each one according to their need, and that they would know your work in their lives. And again, as Brother Lon just mentioned, if salvation is a need, that they would recognize that you're the one who is working in their lives so that they might turn to Jesus Christ by faith. And Father, I think as well of other names that were mentioned. Thank you for these two ladies that accepted Christ as a result of the celebration of the 50th anniversary for the Haynes, Lord. Just thank you for that testimony. Thank you for Amanda, and Lord, as you've worked in her heart, and just pray, Lord, that she might continue to desire to be here, that we might be able to see her here and be able to come alongside of her and encourage her in her walk with Christ, help her to be able to grow, and that you might work in her family among her children. Lord, I think also of the many who need salvation, as Dan was mentioned. Lord, I do pray that you would just do a miraculous work in his heart. You are a miracle-working God. And so, Father, we trust him to you, and we know that you're not willing that he should perish. So, God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would accomplish the work that needs to be done there in order for him to humble himself and to respond in faith to Jesus. We think of Jim Glenn and Ashley, Lord, and their need of salvation. Father, we pray that you would just, again, do what only you can do. We, as much as we want to, as much as we desire to try and change a person's heart, that is not our, that is not within the realm of our capability, Father. So we trust you to do what only you can do there. I pray, Lord, for the adoption process for Mandy, and just pray that you'd continue to give wisdom. I pray that the trip that she and Adam take out to Alabama would be fruitful, and we do pray for the salvation of this young lady that they're hoping to adopt. I pray for Chad Reese and just ask that you would minister to his need as he deals with this addiction situation. I thank you for the godly young lady you've brought into his life. I pray that you would allow her to be an encouragement for him to be able to lay his burden at your feet and to see you bring him into a place of good health and of walking faithfully with you. I pray, Father, for Debbie Woodall, the blood clot, vascular issues that she's dealing with. I just ask that you would minister to her need there. And Father, restore her health. And then I pray as well for Kayla. Thank you for the good news of another grandchild for the Boyers. And just pray that you would continue to bless through her pregnancy. And then for Tim Hutto, Lord, and this kidney failure that he's dealing with. Thank you that he had a good day today. But Father, we do pray that you would just continue to minister grace and strength and health in his life. As we come to your word tonight, Father, we recognize that we need your help. God, we need your help because we're coming to a living, divine, spiritual book that we want to see change our lives, not just for the moments that we look at it this evening, but for eternity. So God, I pray that you would accomplish the work in our hearts that you desire to accomplish through your word and through the power of your Holy Spirit. I do thank you for the Bible, and I thank you for its power to encourage and power to help. And so, Father, whatever need there is in each of our hearts tonight, my own included, God, I pray that you would just meet that need in a very special way for your honor and glory, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, tonight to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Been thinking and praying about a particular issue and need in my own life, and one that I think would be beneficial for us all to be able to consider, surrounding the use of an altar. Altars are prominently found in Scripture. When Noah came off the ark, he built an altar unto the Lord. The text that we're going to look at tonight in Genesis 22 talks about Abraham building an altar on Mount Moriah. Elijah built an altar to confront the prophets of Baal. He built his altar unto the Lord. In the temple, there was an altar unto the Lord. In the tabernacle, there was an altar unto the Lord. The people would resort to it. In heaven, the Bible tells us in Hebrews and Revelation, there is an altar before God in heaven. And so altars find a very prominent place in Scripture. It is not an accident that we call the front of our church auditorium, in front of the platform here, the front pews, the altar. I believe there are special blessings for being able to use an altar, and I think Abraham's encounter with Isaac on Mount Moriah and with God give us some very unique perspectives on why we ought to continue to use an altar. There was a time I can remember growing up in church when every time the invitation was given, people were at the front at the altar because God was dealing in their hearts and ministering to them in a very special way, and they wanted and desired to be restored in their relationship or rejuvenated in their relationship with God. And I hope and pray that we have not neglected the use of the altar to the detriment or to the harm of our relationship with God. And so I want to share with you tonight from Genesis 22 some blessings I think that we miss when we neglect the use of the altar. Look with me, if you would, in Genesis 22, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham," or test Abraham, "and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." Now, we look at verse number 1 here. He says, "It came to pass after these things." You might think, after what things? Well, in Genesis chapter 21, at the beginning of the chapter, we have the birth of Isaac. So, Isaac has come onto the scene. Of course, Isaac is the promised son, the son that God promised Abraham through Sarah. And so, he comes onto the scene. Just a little bit further on in the chapter, after he is weaned, sometime between the ages of 3 and 5, Ishmael is seen mocking Isaac at a celebration for his weaning. And so Sarah gets upset. She says, "Cast out the bondwoman, cast out her son. They're not going to inherit with my son." And of course, that is grievous to Abraham, but God says, "No, listen to what Sarah has said." And so Abraham does. They're cast out. And God says, "I will make a nation of Ishmael as well, because he's your seed." And then later on in the chapter, we find that Abraham's had a hard time finding a place to settle down in the land. They finally find water, and the Philistine leaders, Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain, come and have a meeting with Abraham, and he sets aside some ewe lambs and says, "Hey, this is a testimony. I've built this well. I've dug this well, and so this is our place." And of course, they have an agreement that they make there as a result of that. I want to draw your attention, though, to verse 33 of chapter 21. Says, "And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba," that's what he called the name of the well there, and it says, "And he called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God." Some moments of victory, you know, we listen to praises when we give our prayer requests, and don't we thank God for the victories and the answers to prayer that we see, folks getting saved, people being healed, and we rejoice in those things, and we say, man, pray. And you know, often on the heels of a triumph like that comes a time of testing. And that's where Abraham finds himself at the beginning of chapter number 22. After these things, after these victories, after these triumphs, and Abraham is calling on the Lord, and you say, boy, he's living for God, he's calling on the Lord. Shouldn't God kind of just clear all the trouble out of the way so the path could be smooth? No, God had something for Abraham. He needed to teach Abraham something about himself, not about God, but about Abraham. Abraham needed to learn something about Abraham and his relationship with God. And so God tests Abraham, and he calls unto him, and Abraham says, behold, here I am. And he said, verse number 2, this is God speaking, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Now, if we stop there, you might say, oh, Abraham, yeah, time to take a road trip with Isaac. Your son that you love, I want you to take a road trip. It's a beautiful place over here in Moriah that I'm going to point out to you. I want you to go to. But he doesn't stop there. He says, I want you to take your son, the son of promise, the son that you love. I want you to take him to the land of Moriah. Notice what he says there in verse 2, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And we might read something like that, and we might scratch our heads and say, what in the world is God doing? But you know, that's often the way God works in our lives. Because we don't have the privilege that God has of seeing the end from the beginning. So we'll have God direct us sometimes through a church service, maybe Pastor Bailey preaching, or an evangelist in, or a missionary coming in and speaking. And God begins to work in our hearts, and he says, I have something for you. And then we understand what God wants us to do through his word and the power of the Holy Spirit. We start scratching our heads and go, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. But you know, God is able to work however he wants to because he is God. And our responsibility isn't to understand necessarily how God is working or why God is working. Our responsibility is to be faithful to follow God in the midst of that leading. And that's where Abraham is here. And so while you and I may have heard something like that from God and said, wait a minute, the son of promise, he wants me to offer him as a burnt offering. Wait, that couldn't be right. Maybe I'm going to put this to a matter of prayer. I'm going to pray for this over this for a month and just see for sure if that's exactly what God wants me to do. That might be how we would react. That's not how Abraham reacted. The Bible says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. I appreciated the music that was selected tonight. I appreciate somebody putting in, God putting in someone's heart to sing Trust and Obey. Boy, how appropriate. What did Abraham do? Abraham said, yes, sir. He got up early in the morning. You know, military men, we understand that. Your commanding officer says, you jump, and you say, yes, sir, how high? No questions asked. He saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. A three-day journey away from his camp to the place of Moriah, the land of Moriah, and there upon the mountaintop, he lays his eyes on the place that God says, that's the place, Abraham, that's where you need to go. Verse 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Skip down to verse 9, we'll come back to these other verses. But notice what it says in verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. What are the blessings of using an altar? Why do we call the front of the church the altar? Why do we, after a Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, Wednesday evening service sometimes, why do we give an altar call? What is the purpose? What is the blessing that we're looking to avail ourselves of that will deepen our relationship with God if we would simply use the altar? Well, first of all, I want you to notice that the altar is a place of worship. In verse number 5, Abraham said unto his young men, you stay here with the ass. You stay here with the donkey that we laid it down with all of our supplies for this trip. You stay here. I'm going to go with Isaac. We're going to go over yonder. There's a place that God's shown me, and we are going to worship. That Hebrew word for worship means to humble yourself, to bow down. You know, the altar is a place for us to humble ourselves before God. You say, why do we need to do that? Why does God tell us that we need to humble ourselves? Because I can tell you from my own personal experience, and you maybe can attest to this yourself, I often get in God's way because of my pride. I can handle this. This is a small thing. I've got it under control, God. I know you're busy. There's 8 billion people in the world that you're trying to deal with. I'll take care of it. I'll put on my big boy Christian pants. But that's not what God wants for us. God wants us to be humble so that He can accomplish the work through us, because He is the one who is worthy of the glory for the work. Abraham said to his young men, we're going to go yonder and worship. May I say, it's always right for us to humble ourselves before the Lord? It is always right for us to humble ourselves before the Lord. James chapter 4 and verse number 6, the Bible says, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Boy, how many times has Pastor Bailey over the last several weeks and months talked about how much we need the grace of God, and he is not wrong. We need God's grace day in, day out, morning, noon, night, every minute of every hour of every day. We need the grace of God. But we will not have it if we tell God we got this under control, we can handle it. Further on in James chapter 4 and verse number 10, James says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verses 5 and 6, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Just as God's word moved Abraham to this special place on Moriah where he would build an altar so that he could worship and humble himself before God. Because listen, the instructions that God gave him, Abraham knew, if this is going to happen, it's going to happen because of the grace of God, and I need God's grace. And so he humbled himself. And so the altar is a place of blessing, because it is a place where we can come and humble ourselves before God and seek His grace in times of testing. But it's not only a place of worship and humbling. I want you to notice, secondly, it's a place of surrender. It's a place of surrender. Verse number 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Can you ever be too surrendered to God? No. I don't think you can. The British evangelist Henry Varley said to D.L. Moody very early on in his ministry, the world has yet to see what God can do with one man who is fully surrendered to Him. And D.L. Moody's recorded response was, by God's grace, I will be that man. Certainly the Lord did a great number of things with D.L. Moody, but you know, I think Abraham here is a testimony of full surrender. You say, how can you say that? Well, notice what God said back in verse number 2. He said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. You see, sometimes we let the blessings of God get in the way of our surrender. And we begin to worship the blessings that God has given us and not the God of the blessings. And Abraham could have been tempted to say, wait a minute, Lord, I'm not willing to do that. I'm not going to surrender the son of promise. You promised him. He's the blessing. I love him. But God gave him this altar to show, as a place to show surrender to the will of God. Just taking the journey to Moriah wasn't sufficient enough to prove to Abraham the depth of his surrender to God. Just taking Isaac and the wood and the fire and the knife to the place that God had showed him was not enough to show Abraham's full surrender to God. Listen, God tested Abraham not because God wondered, is Abraham going to be faithful in this? God does not wonder. God already knows what's going to take place. Remember, this is instruction for Abraham. God is teaching Abraham about himself and how surrendered he would be to God. God often allows trials in our lives for the benefit of our own personal discovery and in order to deepen our relationship with him. I wonder how many times as Christians we get comfortable thinking, well, you know, I'm surrendered to God. I mean, after all, I'm at church Sunday morning, I'm at church Sunday night, I'm at church Wednesday night, and if there's missions conference or revival, I'm there for every service that I can get to. I'm fully surrendered. But God is knocking on the door of your heart and saying, no, there's something in the way. And God gives us the altar as a place to be able to come and lay that at his feet and say, no, I surrender. We sing the hymn often in our invitation time, all to Jesus, I surrender. But I wonder how many times we sing, all to Jesus, I surrender, and in our hearts we're going, no, I'm not letting that one go. I think for a lot of Christians, it's most to Jesus, I surrender. Some to Jesus, I surrender. Do we surrender all? Every action on the way of offering Isaac upon the altar as a burnt offering proved the depth of Abraham's willingness to depend upon God and to surrender to the will of God. And of course, we know how it ends. Abraham didn't know how it ended. He didn't know how it was going to come out. All he knew is, no matter what God asks me to do, he's going to fulfill his promise and I'm going to trust him. Can I tell you, that's the best place for us as Christians to be? It might not make sense to me what God's telling me to do, but I have firm assurance from his word. I have firm assurance in prayer. I know this is the direction he's leading me. And so if that's the case, he's responsible for the results. I can trust him. But I wonder how many times we come short of that full surrender. God urges us to use the altar as a place of surrender, but we refuse and reject the blessing because we're just clinging too tight to what God's given us. How many times have you felt God tugging on the strings of your heart, but you came short of full surrender because you said, well, no, I don't want to go to the altar. I mean, it might be embarrassing. What would people think? Can I help you to understand something? It doesn't matter what people think. It matters what God thinks. And if God's working in my heart and urging me to come to the altar, God, help me not to sit back and say, well, I wouldn't want people to laugh at me. I would rather have the whole congregation laugh at me as I came to the front and surrendered my will to God than to sit in my pew comfortably while the whole congregation just sings the invitation hymn and God doesn't get the opportunity to deepen my relationship with him. It's easy to claim that we want to do the will of God. But it's only in the crucible of testing that we learn the extent of our dependence upon God. So it's a place of worship. It's a place of surrender. I'll move a little quicker here. It's a place, thirdly, of dedication. It's a place of dedication. Isaac spake unto Abraham, verse number 7, his father, and said, my father. And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Isaac is somewhere between the ages of 5 and 37. You say, how do you know that? Because Genesis 23 starts with the death of Sarah, his mother, who was 127 years old, and she gave birth to him when he was 90. Or when she was 90, not when he was 90. Yeah, that would have been interesting, huh? Boy, what a miracle. So he was somewhere between the ages of about 5 and 37. And you know what? He's a smart kid, young man. He's like, "Dad, I've been doing some math. And there's wood here. Got a knife in your hand. I see that. And there's fire. Didn't you forget something? Where's the lamb?" And here's where I think Abraham's faith really stands out. When he answers him, Abraham said in verse number 8, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Man, what a foreshadowing of the cross of Christ. You know, Abraham was fully convinced that God could raise Isaac from the dead. We don't see anyone raised from the dead prior to this in Scripture. So where did that come from? It came from Abraham's faith in God. "Isaac, you're the son God promised. So if God said he wants me to offer you as a burnt offering, he can raise you up and restore you to me." And that's why back in verse number 5, he told his young men, he said, "You guys stay here, make sure that donkey doesn't run away. Myself, Isaac, we're going to go over, we're going to worship, and we are going to come unto you again." And now when Isaac's challenging his dad, he says, "Dad, what's going to happen?" Abraham said, "Son, you don't worry. God's got it under control. He's going to make provision. Either he's going to raise you from the dead or he's going to give us a lamb. One way or the other, God's going to make provision." But when I say it's a place of dedication, I want you to notice what it says. I read verse 9, but we'll read it again. He says, "And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood." Laid him in the altar upon the wood. Abraham is dedicating Isaac to God. Can I help you with parents, grandparents? May I tell you something that is valuable? The most valuable thing that you can do with your children is dedicate them to God. So what do you mean by that? I've been in places where I've heard parents say, "Oh, I want my kids to serve God as long as they can do it being on, you know, in the major leagues, or as long as they can do it in the NFL or in the NBA or on the, you know, soccer field or the." Can I tell you, when we dedicate something to God, when we give it to God completely, it's not according to our discretion on how it's used. When our children were born, Cheryl and I, we did with all four of them, we dedicated them to the Lord at a church service. We would do a baby dedication. You say, "Well, what was that?" We were asking the church family, "Pray for us as parents because we want to raise our children biblically and we want God to use them however he sees fit to use them." Because I got news for you, they're not your children. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb is his reward. They are a stewardship that God entrusts to us to be able to mold and shape their lives for his honor and his glory. Man, the best thing you can do as a parent is say, "God, they are yours, they belong to you, and so help us, but whatever you want for them, that's fine." You say, "Well, he might call them to the mission field." Praise the Lord. What a great blessing that would be. We might call them into full-time ministry. They're not going to get rich that way. That's okay. He might take them to heaven early. If that's according to his will, that's absolutely fine. place of dedication. Abraham showed his dedication. Verse 10 says, Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Abraham was not holding anything back. And can I say that's why God gives us the altar, so we don't hold anything back. So we can come forward and say, God, what is it that's in the way? I'm surrendering my will, but is there something else you want me to give up? I remember as a young person, often at camp during the summers or in special youth meetings, you know, they would have parties where you would burn your, do I date myself here? Cassette tapes of music. How about records? I didn't want to go with 8 tracks. Reel to reel. Things that you were struggling with. I can remember evangelists talking about, hey, what's holding you back? What's keeping you from serving God? What's getting in between you and God? And I can remember kids coming to the altar at camp saying, God wants me to get rid of this stuff. Dedicating it. It's God's. Abraham had traveled to the place God had led him. He built the altar. He laid the wood in order. He bound Isaac, by the way, who willingly submitted and surrendered to his father in the matter. All that was left for Abraham to do was to strike the killing blow. And he demonstrated at the altar that he was totally dedicated to God before anything and everything else. And God stepped in. You know, sometimes I wonder if we miss out on God's best because we're unwilling to approach the altar and demonstrate our dedication to God. Yes, sir, I'll let it go. Whatever is in the way. It's no wonder that Paul writes to the Romans in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What better place to do that than at the altar? You say, well, how often do I have to do that? Well, I'm still wearing this robe of flesh. You know, there are times when I still got to do it. You say, well, haven't you done it before? Yeah. I'm not coming back to get saved. I'm coming back to renew that relationship with God and have nothing between my soul and the Savior. So the altar is a place of worship. The altar is a place of surrender. The altar is a place of dedication. And in closing tonight, I want you to notice the altar is a place of provision. It's a place of provision. Verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. Remember, God didn't need to explore that. God wasn't wondering if Abraham would be faithful or if he feared God. He already knew it, but now Abraham knew it. For thou hast, he says, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. You see the near fulfillment of Abraham's prophecy there? My son, God will provide himself a lamb. You say, what's the future fulfillment? That's Jesus on the cross, dying for the sins of all of mankind. But in the near fulfillment, look what happened. Abraham said, son, we're going to obey God no matter what, and he is able to do whatever he wants. If he wants me to offer you as a burnt offering, he'll raise you up. And as Abraham took that knife and picked it up and began to make that killing blow, God says, no, Abraham, now you know I'm number one in your life, and that's great. Lift up your eyes. Look, there's a ram. And guess what? God provided himself a lamb for the sacrifice. Because Abraham was willing to go to the altar. It's significant that Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Because that's how the ultimate sacrifice is received by anyone and everyone who would have their sins forgiven. Look and live. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. But may I say, when we come to the altar and we worship God, we humble ourselves. When we surrender our will to God's will, when we dedicate whatever it might be that's coming between us and God and say, God, you can have it, it's all yours, then God's grace is provided. And God's work can be accomplished in a way that God gets all the glory for it. It's not by accident that we call the front of the church sanctuary the altar. When God's word speaks to us in our trials and in our tests, and even in our triumphs, we should be prepared to approach the place which God makes available for us to worship, to surrender, to dedicate, and to receive the provision of God's grace in our lives. God provides the altar to restore and rejuvenate our relationship with Him. Please don't be afraid to avail yourself of the blessing that is the altar. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly